Hello, welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode number 18. It's Monday night, and I just got home from, again, another Monday night band practice. I told you guys in the last episode that today I was wanting to shoot Polaroids, my Polaroid One Step, for the first time, and report back what I thought about the film. Well, I also said I had a bunch of errands to run. So we did the errands and we got some things accomplished, and before I knew it, it's like 5:30 here, which means it's almost dark. I keep forgetting about this time change and what fall and winter means, that it gets dark really early. And yeah, I guess I could have taken some flash photos with the Polaroid, but I kind of want to test the film in full sun with a lot of light, because I know that the Polaroid film that's out now kind of responds to a lot of light better than it does low light. So I didn't want my first experience to be with flash or with a slow shutter speed and low light, and because maybe that would have discouraged me a little bit. So I didn't get to take any Polaroids today. I also said that I was going to go to my local thrift store, the one that I like to visit quite a bit. I did get that accomplished. I went there, I walked around, and there was not a single camera there. Not even like a plastic panoramic throwaway giveaway plastic crap camera. Nothing. Not like literally not a single camera there. You people with the cool thrift stores, you're killing me. Like, you people that go to these thrift stores and come out with like five cool cameras for $20. My thrift store didn't even have a single camera. I've got to find another thrift store. I mean, this is the closest one to me and all, but, and I used to get so much, I used to haul so much good stuff out of there. But apparently there's a photography guy, a photo nerd like me, that must live next door to this place, and he's raiding everything, and I can't get anything there anymore. So I got to find another spot. So a lot of today has been a bust. But I did experiment with one thing today that I haven't tried yet. I have like a point-and-shoot camera. It's just a Pentax. It's one of the cameras I bought at that thrift store. Pentax, little compact point-and-shoot. Has a really slow zoom lens on it or whatever. I kind of just wanted to keep it in my car with some film in it in case I ever see something, so I'll at least have that on me. The problem with it being like a typical 90s point-and-shoot zoom lens camera is the lens is kind of slow, so if you don't have a lot of light, you could run into some trouble with shutter speeds or it wanting to use flash. I always turn the flash off. But so I realized, like, if I'm going to use this camera, keep it in my car, I need to have a high-speed film. But, you know, high-speed films are kind of getting harder to find. And so I decided that I would just use some Tri-X, some trusty old Tri-X, and shoot it at 1600. Well, the problem with that is these 90s point-and-shoot cameras, they have an auto ISO. Like, the minute you put the film in there with Tri-X, it's going to see it's a 400 speed film. It's going to set the light meter for 400 speed, and there's no way to override that. But there is a way to override it. You can manually do a little strategery and on the cartridge and actually change your film cartridge, the DX code on it, so that the camera will think it has a higher speed film in there. So I was able to pretty easily turn this 400 speed Tri-X to 1600 Tri-X, at least as far as my camera is concerned. And I will explain that in the next segment. So let's talk about DX coding. DX coding stands for digital index. Kodak invented this in 1983 for 35mm film. They also had another, it also used it in an APS, but that's a whole nother thing. DX coding was a way to tell cameras what speed film you had on there, so you didn't have to manually set your ISO for the film on each time you loaded your film into the camera. I guess in a way it's a blessing and a curse, because I know I have been guilty of loading a different film into a camera and forgetting to change the ISO. But for the most part, I think it was mostly for your amateur mom and pops that took family photos and forgot to change ISO or whatever. It was a way to make that easier on them. But the way it worked was there's two barcodes involved in this. One is imprinted on the film negative, kind of below the sprocket hose towards the beginning of the film. And that was mostly used by the printers or for labs when you took your film to get developed. It kind of told the lab the number of exposures on that particular film, the manufacturer's code, what type of film it was, and the developing process. Now there's another code on the cartridge, and you'll see this if you look at any of your modern 35mm cartridges. You'll see this silver and black blocks on the side of the cartridge. That's your DX code. And it basically tells the camera that has DX capability the film speed, again the number of exposures, and it would even tell the camera the exposure tolerance of that film. Now this is all like an automatic thing, and so that when you put this film in your camera, like these 90s point and shoots that don't have an ISO setting you can manually adjust, you put this film in your camera and it knew, oh hey, I've got 400 speed film with the 24 exposure roll. If you open up a back of a camera that has DX capability, which is probably about any camera made from about probably 83, 84 on will have it, because it kind of caught on like wildfire, I guess. But you'll see like where you put the film in the back of the camera, you'll see these metal contacts in the film compartment right where the film cartridge goes. And it's those contacts are there to read those black and silver blocks to tell the camera how many exposures is on that row and what the film speed is and all that. This is fine and dandy, and it makes things easy for for mom and dad that are just taking family snapshots. But what about us creative guys? And we want to, upgrade, or we want to push our film or pull our film. Well, that becomes a problem if you have a camera that doesn't let you manually override that. Now, granted, most SLRs that had DX reading or coding capability, they would allow you to manually adjust the ISO. But I'm talking mostly about compact cameras, point shoots, even the famous Olympus Stylus Epic. A lot of these compacts that are all the rage now, most of them just use the DX code to set ISO speed and didn't give you any way to override it. So that's kind of the history on it and what it does. But as I said in the first segment, there's a way around it. And I'm about to get to that. So if you're looking at the side of the cartridge of a 35mm cassette, you'll see these silver and black squares. It is really easy to use, say 400 Tri-X or any 400 speed film. It's really pretty easy to turn it into an 800 or a 1600 speed film, at least as far as your camera knows, because it's a matter of just taking a knife or any kind of razor blade and just scraping away a little bit of the black down to the metal to basically get your camera to see it as a higher speed film. You can check online. There's several sites that show you what the DX codes look like. What we're concerned about, there's actually two rows of DX coding on the side of a cartridge. We're just worried about the top row. And if you look up online, you'll see what I'm talking about. But as far as like turning Tri-X from like 400 to 1600, on the top row, there's like a silver square, then there's two black squares, then there's two silver squares, then a black square. Well, it's just a matter on the third black square, kind of scraping that away and making a silver square right there. Because basically the black paint just scrapes away and you get down to bare metal, the bare silver metal. And then when you put your roll into the camera, the contacts will see that as an electrical contact, and it will think it's 1600 speed film. Again, this is another one of those podcasts on an audio situation. It's really hard to describe, but it literally took me 30 seconds to scrape away a little bit of this black on this DX code and make my camera see this as a 1600 speed film and adjust the light meter accordingly. If you look it up online, it should make sense. It's really easy. Like, seriously, it took me 30 seconds, if that, to change the DX code on this film. And I could have easily turned it to 1800, or I'm sorry, to 800, or even to 3200, depending on what square I scratched away with a blade or whatever. And now remember, if you do shoot your Tri-X or whatever your 400 speed film is, and you're trying to trick your little 35 millimeter compact into thinking it's that, remember, you'll have to change your developing stage, because when you push film, you will definitely need to increase your development time. But this is a good way to kind of get around some of the limitations of a lot of compact cameras. It's really easy, very simple. And again, look online at DX code for cameras and modifying, or basically, I think I looked up modifying film DX codes, and several sites came up that had really good illustrations and showed you which square to kind of scratch away. But my main use was to basically turn 400 speed Tri-X to 1600, because that's about the most common pushing of film that I do. And so, pretty simple. And I believe it'll help a lot of people out. Like when you have these, like a lot of these compact cameras are not as fast, especially if you have a zoom compact camera. But if you can get some 1600 film in there, they might be able to shoot in more situations than you're used to being able to shoot into. But I think that's, hopefully this made sense. I hate these, man, audio podcasts are tough when you're talking about technical things like this. But again, look online, and I'm just trying to like summarize it by saying, look, to turn 400 speed Tri-X to 1600 speed was a matter of like scratching off a small square, and it took like 30 seconds. And one look at a website that illustrates it better than I can on an audio podcast will probably make that pretty clear. That's the end for this episode of the Negative Positives Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman. You can see my photography on Facebook at Mike Gutterman Photography. You can follow me on Instagram at Gutterman Photo. Everyone, email me at guttermanphoto@gmail.com. Take cool film shots. See ya.